So what we need to do is make sure that we are not allowing the darkness to dwell, but we are opening ourselves up to the Lord and allowing Him to fill our vessels to the degree that there is no place dark in us. And one of the ways that we allow God to fill us to that degree is by cooperating and yielding to the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord begins to deal with us in a certain area of our lives, it's at that time where He's wanting to dispossess, amen, and drive out something in your life and bring healing to your life. Amen. As long as the enemy has got a camp there, you're not going to get well. So you've got to be in a place of yieldedness before the Lord and a place of cooperation where the Spirit of God begins to deal with us and convince us and convict us of sin at times or compromise in our lives. If we're quick to say yes and to cooperate with God and obey His Word, then the Word of Christ, amen, dwells in our hearts richly and drives out the, where the Word is, where the light is, there is no place for darkness. And so it's only in the areas of darkness that the enemy can operate and bring destruction in our lives. Pretty clear, right? Sometimes we are slow learners. Why do we resist the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of God, when He only wants to bring healing, amen, and restoration? Because there is a part of us that is favorable and bent towards evil. It's called the old nature. When we are born of the Spirit of God, amen, when Christ dwells within our hearts, we become He makes us into a brand new creation. He doesn't patch up the old thing. The old thing dies and the new one becomes. Amen? Amen? We become citizens of heaven. And it is that part of us that is, amen, that is beautiful in the sight of God. And so what we need to do is make a decision every day what identity we're going to live out of. Again, it's not that we are striving or working towards becoming perfect or holy. That is legalism. That is works. And that, you will find, will defeat you over and over again. Because you don't have, and I don't have, what it takes simply by my willpower to work or try harder to please God. Amen. So what it is we're coming to an understanding and an awareness of who we now are in Christ. That's growth. Romans 12 tells us that we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Amen? Our understanding being enlightened by the Spirit of grace, revealing who we are. When I look at Jesus, I look at a reflection of who I'm supposed to be like. And so when God creates us into this new creation, then we have to still make a decision whether I'm going to live out of that reality, because truth is reality. Truth is what's what? Really real. That's what truth is. If you say that's true, it's saying you're being real, right? That's real, man. That is the real deal. That's truth. So when we operate in truth, when we're operating or living in the new reality, the old has gone, the new has come. So it's living and operating and moving through and out of that new identity, that new reality. The truth is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the truth. So when we are deceived by our enemy, it is because we're accepting a lie as reality. We think that's reality. Because maybe you find yourself in some type of bondage or some type of habit or some type of addiction or some type of life-controlling problem. And if we're not careful, we can adopt that as something that's just part of me. that I can do nothing about. I've tried to overcome it, but I was not able to. The problem there is that you tried to overcome it. How many of us have said, I'll try, I'll work harder on it? I heard somebody say one time, I heard him talking, and he said, well, I'm going to try harder. And she said to him, just do it. Just do it. Why? Because that's not your identity. That's not who you are anymore. If you're in Christ, you're a brand new creation that is not subject to any of these addictions, any of these life-controlling problems or habits. But your new identity is free. Yes. Free from the power of sin. Free from every bondage, every demonic bondage. Your new creation, your new man, your new person is not to be controlled. Amen? Amen? By anything. And you don't have to allow that to happen. Sin shall not have dominion over you because we are in Christ. We're not under the law, but we're in Christ. We're brand new creations. And so we need to know who we are. And when we know who we are, when we're coming to an awareness and the eyes of our hearts are being enlightened, the Word of God begins to bring light, shed light, then there's no longer any place for the enemy to hide. Wherever the light is, he can't hide. So when you see the enemy, shed some light on it. Amen? Sometimes people get upset with me because I begin to share things from the Word of God that have to do sometimes with something that we're going through at the moment. But that's the thing that's going to change everything. It's the truth that sets you free. Like, you cannot play patty cake with the devil. Because if you compromise with him and you try to appease, come on, even people, then you're allowing the enemy to continue to operate in the darkness. But when the truth comes and the light of God's Word comes, there's no longer any place for him to hide. So he's looking for anyone who will just say, hey, here's a little spot you can hang out in. I know what God says, but I kind of like this pet habit. I tried to work it out. I wasn't able to. Therefore, I just give into it. What did you do? You just bowed down to a god. You bowed down to an idol. You've allowed something to become greater than the God who is in you. Folks, addiction is allowing that thing, come on, to be greater than the God who's in you, who has all power. There are no limitations to the God that's within you. Amen?
Amen?
I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if that is true, we cannot have any closets, amen, in the attic areas of our lives where we're sympathetic to evil, because we don't want that dude in us at all. We don't want to give him any room, any place.
Nope.
Because it's in the areas of darkness that he operates, and his purpose is to rob, kill, and destroy. You cannot appease your enemy because he doesn't like you.
Nope.
He's not your friend. Don't try to make friends with your devil. Amen?
Amen.
He's your enemy. You got to kick him out. When the heathen worship demons, you ever watch the witch doctors operate, and you ever watch the Travel Channel or some of these channels where they go into these places where they're operating in all kinds of occult activity and calling on all these spirits and allowing demons to come into them and channel them, and they even do exorcisms, believe it or not. They cast out demons. How do they do it? Well, they just call in a bigger demon. But they're still subject to demons. And the only way that they can get them to cooperate with them or do for them is that they sacrifice or give something up for it. It's called an appeasement. Am I right? Well, you know, we can do the same thing, folks. We can do appeasements to the enemy. But we don't want to stir the pot. We don't want to speak the truth because somebody might get offended. Come on. What he's doing is he's getting us to compromise. He's getting us to agree with him. Just to leave him alone. Just leave him alone. The Bible says resist the devil. Yeah. So when we appease the enemy, when we try to please and pacify and play patty cake with the devil, hoping that he'll leave us alone if we just don't mess with him. All he's doing is stealing and robbing more from you. Amen? Bringing greater destruction. We become double-minded when we have split affection, you see, split loyalties. There can't be two ways about it. There's one way. It's His way. This morning I shared from Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter. And verse 6. And it says, the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. Where do these fallen spirits abide? In darkness. That is why, as children of the light, we cannot compromise with darkness at all. Because what you do is you give legal access to your adversary to come in and mess you up. And so what has to happen is we have to cancel his assignments through repentance. Changing my mind. I once appeased him. I once compromised with him. No longer am I going to do that. I've changed my mind. I'm not going to have nothing to do with him or his ways any longer. I repent. And I'm turning to Jesus. And I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. And I'm going to ask Jesus for mercy and grace to help me. I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to forsake them. And the adversary, who is the accuser, as we saw this morning, he stands there to wait for you to mess up. He's just waiting for you to compromise. And he's going to say, look at there. Look what they did. You see what they did. And because God is righteous. Amen?
Amen.
Because he is just.
Yes,
there has to be a penalty. A wage is earned. Amen? The wages of sin is death. But then Jesus comes on the scene, who not only pays the price as the sinless Lamb of God, but he is exalted to the right hand of the Father. Amen? To the highest place. As our great high priest, our intercessor, interceding on behalf of you and I to the Father. He is our defense attorney, who is also there in the court of heaven. And when the adversary comes with an accusation, you saw what Lemire did. Lemire simply turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, please forgive me. Have mercy on my soul. And because Jesus has already dealt with the sin problem, when he spread his arms and he says, it is finished, folks, the sin problem has already been dealt with. Hallelujah. And when he turns to Jesus and he says, have mercy to me, the Lord says, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. I'm going to add that in there. And the guilty sinner goes free. He goes free. Now, if we find ourselves in a place where, yes, we know we've been wrong, we know we've sinned, but I don't really want to come clean about it. I want to sweep it under the rug. I'm just going to pretend that everything is okay in my world. And nobody will ever know. It's my little secret, you know. As long as the enemy can whisper in your ear and say, you better not tell anybody. Just keep it our little secret. Come on, he does that. Because he doesn't want you going to Jesus. Because he knows that Jesus, what Jesus is going to say. And he wants to keep you guilty before Father. So as long as we justify, rationalize, make excuses for our sinful lifestyle, then he can continue to mess you up. Are you with me today? That's how he does it. He lies. He just works through lies. He tries to prevent us from being transparent, for being open to God, for coming to him in trust and in faith to know that God is good, that God does love me, that God does want to forgive me, that God wants to restore me to fellowship, that God has wonderful things in store for those who seek him. He wants to stop you from receiving what Father God wants to give you. He wants to stop you from being promoted in the kingdom. He wants to prevent that. He wants to stop you from getting into position for the Father to bless you.
Amen.
And the position to be blessed is to humble yourself. Yeah. Say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Amen? When you come to Christ, you receive a new nature. Amen? You become a brand new person. And I don't like when I hear people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Because that is actually not true. We sin, but we are not any longer sinners. We are new creations. Hallelujah. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You've got a new master now. So when we come, we say, Lord, I've sinned.
Yes.
Forgive me. And do you know that that's all the Father wanted was a sincere heart? That's all he wanted was someone that really meant it? Because when we really mean it, it means that we don't go back to it. When we are through with that sin, amen, we don't go back to it. When we have truly repented from our hearts, it means not only am I going to confess my sin, but I'm going to forsake it. I'm going to put it to death. Are you with me? A person who comes to God and says, I'm sorry, and continues to go back, has not repented, folks. That's not repentance. That's just remorse. That's just being sorry. But godly sorrow works repentance. When the Holy Spirit convicts the heart of the sinner and brings that conviction upon us to where we know that I need to get clean. I need to be free of this thing. And we make the decision to step out and step towards Jesus. What you do is you turn your back on that thing and you face Jesus. That's how you deal with sin in your life. You say, speak to the hand, devil, not going there. You turn your back and you look at Jesus. When a wolf comes, amen, and he growls, or the lion comes to growl to paralyze the sheep don't look at the adversary, folks. The sheep shift right to the shepherd. Are you going to defend me? Yes, he will. He's there. But we've got to call on him. Amen? You and I don't have what it takes to overcome. What we need to know is who I am now in Christ.
Amen.
My new identity. And I operate from that place in Christ, in my new identity. So I'm not striving towards something that's already taken place at salvation, but I'm living out of that reality. Reality is truth. You shall know the truth. You shall know Him. You shall know who you are in Him, your new identity. And no longer is sin your master. No longer can it dominate me. But when I put myself into the place of Savior, then I begin to strive and work and try in my own strength, my own willpower, to somehow please God. And never do you achieve that. Because you'll always find that you just don't have what it takes. I don't know, am I talking to anybody else tonight? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Galatians 6 and 7 says, "Do not be deceived," and this is from the Amplified, "and deluded and misled. God will not allow Himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by His precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and only that is what he will reap. For he who sows to his own flesh," that means your lower nature, sensuality, the old part of you that's supposed to be dead, "will from that nature flesh reap decay, ruin, and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. If you go to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, you go back two books to your left. Here's a scene of the heavenly court. And Zechariah had a total of 8 visions that God gave him. And this is the fourth one. And in this, what we see is a really beautiful picture or type of our redemption in Christ. And this is also known as telescoping. It's where there's a compression of near and distant future, where there's basically like two prophecies simultaneously, one that is for the present and one that points ahead to the future. It's called telescoping, and it's a very common feature, especially in the prophetic writings. So here in verse 1, he said, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord." Now we know that in the new covenant, Jesus Christ is what? Our high priest. But here it's also referring to an earthly high priest who is fallible. Amen? That even the high priest himself had to offer sacrifice for his own sin. Jesus was the only perfect one who knew no sin, who was a perfect high priest. Amen? But here we see Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Aren't you glad he did that? "The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you. I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Joshua the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign." Now look at this in verse 8. "For behold, I am bringing forth my servant the branch." Who is that? Jesus. "For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes, which also speaks of the Holy Spirit." Seven being the number of perfection. And so what do we see here? We see the angel of the Lord. I believe this is typifying Jesus, our defense attorney. Amen? Who says to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? "Behold, I have removed your iniquity." Not only did he take away the sin problem, but he clothed him. Amen? In his own righteousness. He is the only one who can declare and make us righteous. We don't have what it takes. We need the righteousness of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord removes the sin problem and he puts on his garment. Hallelujah. And declares that sinner righteous. We have now become the righteousness of God in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. I am righteous because of Christ. Hallelujah. It's okay to say I'm righteous in Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not okay to say I'm righteous because of all I do.
No.
But my righteousness is found in Christ, who now, amen, has made me into his image. A new creation, who is qualified to be in the presence of Almighty God. None of us would be allowed into God's holy presence apart from the blood of Jesus. Amen? The cleansing of the blood and the garment that the host himself, amen, places upon his people. God is the one who imputes righteousness, who makes us qualified for his presence. Hallelujah. And then he gives Joshua an instruction. Folks, when God calls you, when God forgives you and cleanses you and clothes you, and he places upon your head that fair mitre, and on that inscription the high priest would have in gold plate, where it says, "Holiness unto the Lord." He makes us holy. Are you with me? We're now holiness unto the Lord. We are a royal priesthood, where we can come before the Father by faith in the shed blood of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
By a new and living way which he made possible through his blood. Coming in confidence. Why? Because Christ has qualified me, not because I'm a good person. Understanding my new identity makes me aware that I really am a good person in Christ. Are you with me? Not trying to patch up the old man and make him look pretty. Unfortunately, too many Christians are trying to do this. They're just trying to patch up the old man. Instead of putting that dude to death, putting their back to sin, putting their back to that old nature, and keeping their eyes fastened upon Jesus. And as we look into the face of Jesus, when we seek his face, we are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. We begin to see what our real identity is, who we look like, who we really are. What's God's purpose for you? That you be Christ-like. That you be made into his image. And the only way to do that is to look at him. Trust in him. Hope in him. Amen?
Amen.
No other way. Get yourself out of that seat and let Jesus, amen, take the reins of your heart. I can't do it. I can't do what God has called me to do. Not only am I to live a righteous life, amen, before the world, but I'm also to declare His praises. I'm also to make Him known to the world. None of the things that we are supposed to be and do are possible in and of ourselves. It's bigger than we are. So how then do I live for God? How do I do the works of God? I come to an understanding. I come to an awareness of who I am. I'm a new creation. Sin has no hold over me anymore. Reckon yourself indeed dead to sin, but alive to God. In other words, when sin comes knocking on your door, you just say, speak to the hand, I'm dead to you. I'm alive unto God. Hallelujah. You know what? You can't sin and praise God at the same time. Start calling out to God. Start praising His name. Hallelujah. How many know the devil doesn't like praise? He'll get out of there. You start praising the Lord. Amen? Sometimes we come in together in a meeting and there's all kinds of stuff and all kinds of baggage and stuff that folks bring through the door. But we get into the glory realm and we start to praise the Lord and worship Him. Hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord comes and sweeps out. Amen? And the same thing is true in each individual heart as we worship in spirit and in truth. The enemy cannot coexist if you worship Him through your cooperation. Worship is more than singing songs, isn't it? Amen. Worship is your entire life presented to God. Yeah. Your body's a living sacrifice. We come and we present ourselves before God. That's how we do it. Say, God, here I am. Whatever you place in the Lord's hands, He can bless and multiply. But it's not possible for us to do that. So once God cleanses us, clothes us, then the next thing He does is He gives an instruction. What He does is He restores us to service. Now in Christ, we have been qualified to be a servant of the Most High God. In Christ, we have been qualified to represent Him as an ambassador. Amen? That represents the throne in heaven. Hallelujah. Not because I did well, but because God qualified me to be that. And if that is the case, then I have a responsibility to be true to my King, the one who sent me. An ambassador never goes with his own agenda. Come on, he wouldn't be an ambassador very long. If they left the United States and they went to some foreign country with their own agenda, boy, they're going to yank them out of there real fast. We lay our agenda down. I have to do that. I, like anybody else, I can easily have my own agenda. But I have to say, God, I laid down my agenda. And I want to know what Your agenda is. Because that's the good agenda. That's the one that leads to a blessed life. Are you with me?
Yes.
When we set aside ours to take up His. When we deny ourselves to take up our cross. Amen? And follow Him.